All right, folks, let's dive into this interesting chess game and break it down phase by phase, taking apart the strategies and moves. The game starts off with one of the most classic and respected openings in chess history, the Ruy Lopez. This opening aims to control the center with the pawn to e4 and the knight to f3 while developing minor pieces quickly and applying pressure on Black's center. Now in this game, Black responds with the solid classical variation. This is where Black does not immediately challenge White's center with a pawn, but instead develops pieces to sensible squares. However, Black soon steers into the central variation after White's c3, preparing to advance in the center with d4. In the opening, White adheres to the principle of taking control of the center with pawns and pieces. The knight, the light-squared bishop, and central pawns are used effectively to exert pressure. However, when Black plays c5, attempting to establish a stronghold in the center and contest White's central domination, things take a sharp turn. This move comes with the slight drawback of Black's pawns on c5 and c6 being overextended and thus becoming targets. From a strategic point of view, it's important to note that pawn moves are irreversible, so every pawn push should be made with care to avoid creating weaknesses. Moving forward to the middle game, we observe White applying classical principles perfectly. Control the center, develop the pieces rapidly, and connect the rooks. Especially noteworthy is the move queen to d6 by White, which is a powerful centralizing move, attacking the vulnerable knight on e7 and putting pressure on Black's position. From Black's perspective, now comes a series of missteps, particularly not dealing with the immediate threat of the queen, and then losing material through a combination of tactical oversights and apparently missing the full implications of White's threats. Knights, bishops, and pawns were all played with a lack of synergy, culminating in a failing defense against White's threats. A critical tactical point was the knight to g5 move by White, aiming to jump into f7, a classic attacking motif in the king's vicinity. This showcases the importance of always being alert to direct threats around your monarch, an essential tactic in chess known as the knight fork. As we transition to what is supposed to be the endgame, we see that White's attack crescendos, and the game does not extend beyond the middle game. The light-squared bishop sacrifice is a tactic known as removing the guard. By intentionally sacrificing a piece, White removes the defender of a critical square, here enabling a knight check that ends up being fatal for Black. Finally, we reach a checkmate with White's queen on h7, an excellent demonstration of forceful and direct mating patterns. Paying attention to the powerful long-range abilities of the queen in an open field is one of the fundamental endgame strategies. Overall, the takeaway from this game is the significance of unified piece activity, the vigilant defense of one's weak squares around the king, and the consequences of overextending pawns that lead to structural weaknesses. White did a brilliant job of coordinating their pieces, creating threats, and ultimately capitalizing on tactical errors made by Black. Always remember that in chess, the understanding of piece play, the momentum of the game, and vigilance against tactics can turn the tide at any moment. Thanks for walking through this game with me. It's been a great illustration of dynamic play and how simple principles, when executed well, can lead to a swift victory.